Welcome to the Princeton Laxcast. I'm Jerry Price. I'm joined by Princeton head men's lacrosse coach Matt Matalon. Coach, welcome.
Thanks, Jerry. Happy to be back.
Our podcast brought to you as always by RWJ Barnabas Health, the official health system of Princeton Athletics. To learn more about services and locations, visit rwjbh.org. Let's be healthy together. Thank you to RWJ Barnabas Health, the official health system of Princeton Athletics, for sponsoring our podcast. Well, we said last week we would come back and talk this week no matter what happened, and this was the best case scenario for it. Your team defeating Yale 14-10, advancing to the NCAA Final Four. First time for you as a head coach. First time for the program in 18 years. A lot to talk about. The team plays Maryland in the semifinals Saturday, the second game after Rutgers and Cornell. In general, how are you feeling? How are you taking it all in? Are you enjoying the moment? Are you too focused? What's up with Matt Matalon?
A little bit of everything. I mean, we're obviously thrilled to advance the championship weekend. It's such a great step for our program. It's such an impressive group of seniors and captains, and it's been a pleasure to coach this group of guys as a team. But honestly, it's like, as cliche as it is, we're just so happy to be back at work and spending another week with these guys in the weight room, in the locker room, in the film room. So we're just, you know, we're all smiling because, you know, there are only four teams preparing right now. And we get to be one of them, which means we get to be together for another week. And that's everything.
So the game at Hofstra, it was about 4,000 degrees outside. It was like really hot. I think there was a lot of, I know there was a lot of talk beforehand about should we wear a black shirt, should we wear orange shirts. In the end, none of that really was going to matter. I was really impressed as I watched the team prepare all week and then just being around them in the hotel before the game. They were confident. You know, I don't think there was, you know, there were definitely nerves prior to and some uncertainty prior to the BU game. There was just confidence going into that game. At least that's what I saw from my perspective. What did you see from your perspective?
Yeah, we've discussed it as coaches in the past few days. We had an incredible vibe going into that one. You know, obviously guys were excited to compete and still be practicing and training, but I give a lot of credit to, you know, Jim Mitchell and Jerry Hirsch for instilling that confidence and preparation in their groups. So, and then that falls back on the captains, you know, it's seniors that, and these are all guys that have never been here. So this is a first time experience for all these players. So I think they just handled it really well. I think the seniors understood the task at hand and really did a good job of making sure their group is ready to play and in the right mindset.
Yeah, before we talk about the on-field part of the game, the turnout at Hofstra and the way the alumni really rallied around this team and were there to be so supportive of the team, it's an interesting thing for me because Princeton has such an incredible NCAA tournament history, but it's all predates you know, any of the players or the coaches that had been with the team to this point until this year. And I know that it's something that you don't shy away from. It's something that you talk about, they talk about, they're proud of it. And the alums for their part, they're so supportive year after year after year, hoping that the current group gets back to the experience that they had. Just talk a little bit about what they bring, what kind of energy they bring to the program and how important it is to you to have that kind of support from them.
I mean, I've got the chills thinking about it. We had a really special weekend on campus here with Princeton reunions, and reunions are a huge, large format event to begin with. But when it hadn't taken place in a handful of years due to COVID, everyone has the opportunity to come back to campus. And we had that many folks leave campus or miss out on reunions to come out and support our group out on Long Island. As a coaching staff, we were in awe. We were jaws on the floor. We were so proud and so happy. The outreach, you know, due to the success, it's been unbelievable. I mean, all these folks are so happy. There are so many people that put so much into this program behind the scenes. And this, you know, we term it the long orange line, but this support stems back from the fall. I mean, it starts year in and year out. It starts early, you know, with our golf outing and our alumni game and our mentorship support. And, you know, before our success this year, it's never wavered. It's been extremely consistent, you know, in my 6 years as a head coach and even my time as an assistant coach. The true support, the true genuine love for the orange and black and the experience. So we're so proud. We're so honored to be able to get this program back to championship weekend for our alumni. but we're so grateful with how they treat our guys and our coaches. We really are. It's really what makes our program tick. And it's such a big leverage piece in recruiting. So it all really does come full circle. We're just really grateful for that group.
Even what's really, I don't know what the word is, but it's great to see so many recent alums there. And, you know, they went through this program. They all came so close to having an NCAA tournament experience, to winning an Ivy League championship. Team after team after team was right on the verge of accomplishing these things and being able to play into May. And all these guys who are sitting there cheering their hardest, and they missed out on this. And to see them, experiencing it right along with your current guys says a lot about them, I would think.
Yeah, it does. I can't say it enough, but we don't get to where we're at without those guys and those experiences and their commitment to a culture of extras and their commitment to true stewardship in the program of, you know, eliminating nonsense and focusing on the traditions that help us win. And it's just been really incredible. So all of those guys, you know, from the time I stepped on this campus, have continued to work for the common goal of getting a group back to championship weekend. And I think, you know, it took a little time, but they all have a huge part in this success.
So let's talk about the game itself. Princeton scored right off the opening faceoff. Coulter Mackesy got his first of the game, and then Yale got the next three, and suddenly it's 3-1 Yale. Yale is a team that has a lot of, Yale's very good at playing from ahead. They're very good at getting you down and not letting you get off the canvas. At 3-1, they had a couple of possessions. What are you thinking there? Are you thinking, and again, this is a team that nobody with the program in a coaching or playing standpoint had a win over them at that point. What are you thinking at that point? We got to draw the line here, or there's a long way to go, or, you know, what thoughts are you having when it's 3-1 Yale?
Even at 3-1, we were playing good lacrosse at that point. You know, we gave up a transition goal. We gave up, you know, a couple funky bounces, failed clear. So I think for us, you know, as a coaching staff, I think we're kind of looking at each other being like, all right, look, as quickly as we can settle in, we're confident in our game plan. We're confident in our players. So I think at that point, it's a really long game. For us to start with the opening faceoff, pinch pop, hit the point guy, you know, have Mackesy come up field with his offhand and stick it near side high. That was a great start for the Tigers, but really it just took a minute to settle in. So, not an ideal start, but credit to our guys and credit to our coaches, you know, our assistant coaches for getting their groups ready and just staying the course and sticking to the game plan.
At 3-1, I thought the next goal, you know, it's very hard to lose a game in the first quarter, but you could set the tone for a game in the first quarter. And I thought the next goal at that point was going to be big. And so if Yale went up 4-1 and it got to 6-2, you know, then you're pushing the rock up the hill. Getting it to 3-2, I thought that might have been the biggest goal of the day. And that was Tommy Barnes feeding Jake Stevens. So that's, you know, your second midfield, hard to call Jake Stevens a second midfielder, but, you know, it's a second midfielder in Tommy Barnes, who's a converted attackman, getting it to Jake Stevens, who's a wing transition player who plays on your second offensive midfield, scoring such a big goal. You got a goal from Sean Cameron. You got contributions on defense from Cajal Roberts and Jacob Stabner and Luca Lazaretto and Paul Wethington Jr. So you went deep and you got contributions from guys that you might not have expected to give you big contributions. What does that say about the program depth? How important was that in the game on Saturday?
I mean, that's really important. That's going to be important going into this weekend. I think that, you know, we take a lot of pride in recruiting and developing. We're not a program that takes transfers or grad students. So we really do take pride in developing our guys. So for at this point, for us to be able to, you know, and we were a team that played three close defensemen the majority of the year, but to be able to extend that bench and get, you know, Jacob and Kyle in, and those are outstanding, you know, elite Division I defensemen. So to have that depth and the ability to, you know, keep attack mode and use the legs was great. And then you had mentioned guys at the defensive midfield position, and just being able to get down that bench on a good hot day and stay with fresh legs is important. And I think that, you know, it's a testament to how these guys have worked all year. You know, I think that, you know, I think most coaches at this point are kind of looking at their freshmen being like, hey guys, you're a week away from being a sophomore. So We're going to stop calling you freshmen at this point. And that happens probably just later, you know, anytime April or, you know, anytime that comes around that later in the year. So just really proud of our guys for continuing to stick, develop, work in the classroom, you know, and when I say classroom, I mean the film room in terms of with the coordinators and make sure they understand the game plans and make sure they're continuing to grow and get better. And then to have that kind of culminate towards the end of our season, it's great. Again, it's a testament to our assistant coaches.
So then you went on the 7-goal run. So 3-1 down became 8-3 up. You knew Yale wasn't going away. And then the other really key moment of the game was in the third quarter, 3-goal game. They scored to get it to 2. Princeton answered. They scored 2, Princeton 3. They get it to 2. Princeton builds it back to 3. Finally got it up to 4. And you know, one, how big a deal would it have been if they got to 1? If they had scored one, you know, consecutive goals. And then two, at what point of that game did you think we got this?
Probably not till, you know, to answer the last question, probably not till, you know, Chris Brown put us up 4 and the clock was driving down. But, you know, then they, you know, they take the stick out of Slusher's hands and go back down and, you know, and then George Bond's able to make an incredible play on the perimeter to kind of, I think at that point, I think when George made that play on the perimeter with about 2.5 minutes, for me personally, I think that was just such a big moment for us. It's our senior captain. It's our butt kicking defenseman making a play on the perimeter against a world-class attackman. So I think it was just great. I think at that point, you know, we were able to kind of burn some clock and go into our end of game situation mode, which was really important. But yeah, as far as you referenced earlier, in terms of the game going, you know, up 3, down to 2, up 3. I mean, you know, I relate everything back to hockey, you know, and 2-0 is the worst lead you can have in hockey. So, you know, you once you get that one goal and clip it down to 1, you know, kind of the ice tilts or the field tilts. So I think us being able to keep that up in that 3-goal, back to 2, back to 3 was really critical. I hope none of our guys were thinking about that during the game. You know, I'd be lying if I said I didn't have it in the back of my head. But, yeah, you get it to 1. Yale gets a little more inertia, and maybe that energy helps them push it, and then a tie game, and then the energy has the potential to flip. But our guys, we've experienced that throughout the year, and you know, I give a lot of credit to our captains and seniors that we're able to fall back on those moments and remind guys, you know, about blown leads throughout the year and staying the course. And so, I really respect our senior class for that.
Now is the best time to plan your windows, doors, or siding project. Give Lawrenceville Home Improvement a call at 609-882-6709 for your free estimate on the highest quality products with superior installation practices. When it's time to improve your home's appearance and energy efficiency, remember Lawrenceville Home Improvement, windows, doors, and siding. Find them on the web or visit their showroom today. I think I have that memorized by now.
You do a wonderful job that I think I did it 1 week. Sales probably plummeted. So your silky voice is much better. I greatly appreciate it.
I appreciate that. You are listening to the Princeton Laxcast. We were talking with head coach Matt Madelon. We'll be back with more after this short break.
Looking to get away this weekend but don't want to go far? How about a last-minute getaway to the Princeton Marriott at Forestal, nestled on 25 acres of lush woods and just a few minutes from campus? Enjoy tranquil guest rooms, state-of-the-art health club, indoor pool, and a full-service spa. Stop in for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, craft cocktails and local beers at Iron and Ivy. Plus, their 2,100-square-foot M-Club lounge takes relaxation and convenience to a whole new level. If a wedding, reunion, or other social event is in your future, the Princeton Marriott has a variety of event spaces, indoor and outdoor. Located on College Road East across from the Forestal Village, explore all the Princeton Marriott at Forestal has to offer at princetonmarriott.com.
Back here on the Princeton Laxcast, Jerry Price talking to Matt Madelon, the Princeton men's lacrosse head coach. He's on his way with his team to the NCAA Final Four. It'll be played at Rentschler Field in Hartford, Connecticut. Great spot for a Final Four. I was at the one last year. It's a really good size for a facility. The weather last year was awful for the semifinal games, but it's still the you know, still has a nice atmosphere. A few things. One, it's Cornell and Rutgers starting at noon. Princeton, Maryland is the second game. Should start around 2:30, 2:40. It's a grass field. Is that what is that? We haven't played on grass, and I guess going back to Virginia last in 2020. So, does that impact you at all?
It does a little bit. I mean, you want to get your guys prepared. You want to get your goalies prepared, your face-off guys. We have the best support staff in the country. We had, you know, when we woke up Monday morning, We had a grass field on campus mowed down for us, lined for us. So we've been able to get some practice out on some grass. So it's just incredible support from the university in terms of taking care of our program.
And so now the challenge, of course, is number one, Maryland. They're undefeated. There are people who are talking about them among some of the greatest teams who've ever played lacrosse. They haven't had too many close games. Princeton played Maryland back on February 25th. That final score was 15-10 Maryland. That game has been looked up and down and studied. Princeton, obviously, with the three faceoff guys who two had been in COVID protocol, one was injured. Jack Henry Barr just got out of the protocol that morning, had to drive down and face off down there. So it was a big possession disadvantage to the Terps. Eric Peters had a good game. Sammy English had a good game. Maryland did some things. They never really pulled away, but Princeton never really seriously threatened in the last half of the second half. Do you have any takeaways from that game? And what do you do to get ready to play a team like this?
Of course, we go back and study that game and learn from our mistakes. I mean, that was a long time ago as far as the season's, as far as the season's concerned. But, Maryland's an outstanding team. That's a coach that's been doing it. It's a coaching staff that's been doing it at a high level. It's a team that has a lot of Final Four and championship weekend experience. But it comes down to one game in 60 minutes and one play at a time. So, our message all year to our group has kind of been Princeton versus Princeton. We've got to bring the best version of ourselves, regardless of who we're playing. But this is a heck of an opponent. And we're obviously very much looking forward to the matchup. But in terms of the X's and O's piece and the game plan, it's subtle tweaks here and there and make sure we're playing hard, fast, and simple.
So they've been there before, your team, new to the Final Four. Do you think about the moment? Do you get caught up in the moment? Have you done anything to try to make it business as usual for your team?
A little bit of everything. I mean, we really do want our guys to enjoy this. And regardless of the outcome, we appreciate and love this team. This has been a great success for our program, but this is an opportunity to have something really special happen. So we want to make sure our guys are relaxed, but we also, a little pressure, a little butterflies, it always helps too. So I really do think our guys will be prepared X and O's and game plan wise. I think that there are a lot of distractions. I mean, congratulations to our senior class who graduated early this week, which is really, really such a cool experience to see these young guys come through. Absolutely have a wonderful experience at Princeton on the field, off the field, and to see how happy their families are, at the culmination of at graduation. It was really special. So I think now, as we get later in this week, it's really kind of focus and dial in. And we do want our guys to enjoy this and enjoy the experience, but it's a pretty serious group and it's a pretty hungry group. So I think they're up, I think they're excited for the task at hand.
Yeah, you sort of stole my question there about graduation, but it had to be a bit strange to have, 12 seniors who go from graduation ceremony to practice. That's kind of a cool thing for them to do.
Oh, I mean, it was wonderful. It was great. They were hustling around in the morning. But I think when they get to strap the helmets on, I think it becomes a really calming, a calming point for them where they can just get out and get back to work, with their tightest buddies.
What about what about going into a game like this where you were such a decided underdog? Is there something that it's the, a lot of times teams can draw off of that, get a lot of fire off of something like that. At the same time, how do you keep everybody from building Maryland up to be, people have already sort of called them, they're comparing them to the greatest teams that ever played, and rightfully so, based on what they've done so far. How do you deal with those kinds of issues?
We've talked all year, for years, we message our guys, any given day, any stadium, any game, you've got to be the best version of yourself for 60 minutes. So that's why you play the game in sports. Maryland's an outstanding team, but Princeton's earned their way to this championship as well. So just looking forward to the battle.
Have you talked to Jesse Bernhardt this week?
We exchanged some texts as good friends and congratulating both of, both programs for bringing their teams all the way through January, February, and still standing at this point. So I'm obviously so happy for him and Aaron, and I know they're happy for us as well.
Well, it's Princeton, Maryland. It'll be Saturday, the second semifinal in Rensselaer Field in West Hartford, Connecticut. Cornell Rutgers get it started. I know there's a lot of a lot of Princetonians who are going to making the trip. You got Ed Calkins doing a lot of work to try to rally everybody to get going. And, you know, a lot of the alumni group has been involved. So it should be a big, big Princeton party up there. We're all looking forward to it. Just want to wish you the best of luck. Enjoy the trip. And we will see how it goes.
Well, thank you very much. We absolutely love our Tiger faithful. Thank you. We love you. We need you. Go Tigers.
For Princeton head men's lacrosse coach Matt Matala, I'm Jerry Price. You've been listening to the Princeton Laxcast. We thank you for your support in the NCAA tournament and for your continued support of Princeton men's lacrosse.